Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. This is a special election edition of News in Focus. With me in studio is OCA board member Al Davis, and we're going to be talking about the election, the voter guide. We're going to be talking about getting the vote out for Tuesday, November 6th, and we are just 5 days away from a midterm election that's going to determine the future for the state of Ohio and also nationally. But we want to talk about the news from this week. Of course, President Trump and Mrs. Trump visited Pittsburgh, the synagogue, of course, which the tragic shooting that took place over the weekend by an anti-Semitic crazed man who went into the synagogue on Saturday on the Sabbath and killed 11 individuals, Jewish people, in their synagogue, in their worship center. The nation, of course, was shocked by this, praying for the Jewish community of Greater Detroit, and President Trump, his wife, Melania, and also his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who is Jewish, by the way, and his wife, went to Pittsburgh to pay respects and tribute to those who perished and to give comfort to the Jewish congregation there. Also, of course, as we head into this final stretch of the election, the polls are closing in Ohio, meaning the races are getting very tight. And we have a report from Baldwin Wallace University here in Northeast Ohio that is reporting that the governor's race is neck and neck between Richard Cordray and Attorney General Mike DeWine. Also, other statewide races, the gaps are close, and also on issue one, and we're going to talk about issue one. As you know, the Ohio Christian Alliance is urging a no vote on issue one. Later in this program, also part two of our program, we're going to have Greg Delaney. Some of you heard his interview last week. We're going to replay an encore presentation of that interview in which this was a pastor who advocated a yes vote for issue one. Now he is a definite no, and we'll hear from him later in this program. Pastor Al, issue one is going to create a lot of problems for Ohio if it passes, and right now it is still favored, but the people of Ohio have not yet spoken, and that is on November 6th with the election.
Well, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, we cannot cannot say too much about issue one, about what a danger it is, to use a loaded term, I guess, a clear and present danger to the state of Ohio and the people in this state. I agree with what the county coroners have said. It'll empty the jails and fill the morgues. I remember when Summit County's coroner's office had to have refrigerated trailers and trucks because of the overflow, and we're going to repeat that, aren't we?
Unfortunately so. I mean, that is a very vivid picture of the opiate addiction. We're actually, you know, the overdose crisis, we're actually starting to get ahead and turn a corner here, talking to those who are on the front lines working with opiate addiction recovery programs across the state of Ohio. Greg Delaney, who will be on later in the program, talks about that. He works in the greater Dayton area. He works with Health and Human Services on the federal level. He was actually even showcased in a meeting at the White House earlier this spring in a task force against opiate addiction. The president and vice president have weighed in. Funds from the federal treasury have actually gone out to the states like Ohio to help with opiate addiction recovery programs. And unfortunately, issue one comes at a very bad time. It's a proposal, and as I'm going to read it right here, it says, issue one is bad for Ohioans, especially harmful to the very people it is purported to help. Promoted as an effort for prison reform, this deceptive ballot measure would actually create conditions for more drug trafficking and opiate addiction, overdose, and death in Ohio communities. Ohio has already seen its share of grief and loss in its battle against drug addiction. The amendment as proposed would strip law enforcement of the ability to curb drug use and trafficking in local communities. And well, how is that done? Well, judges will no longer be able to provide the options to defendants in the courtroom for either incarcerated addiction recovery programs or paroled drug addiction recovery programs. The proposed amendment is cloaked as an effort for prison reform, but in reality, it would be a constitutional law not easily overturned. That's what people don't understand about this, Pastor Al. This is not just a statute. This will be a constitutional law. They'll say, well, we can tweak it. You can't tweak it, folks. If it passes, it goes in the Constitution as it's written. And legal minds have said it's poorly written on top of that. Look, judicial system, police would not, they would lose their ability to curb drug possession and drug trafficking on the streets of Ohio cities and communities. And the Mexican drug cartel is the one that's watching this one very closely, Pastor Al, because they want to flood Ohio with more illicit drugs.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And a lot of people fail to realize, if you just look at geography here, why this is important. We're midway between New York and Chicago. We have major highways that come through the state of Ohio, Interstate 71, 77, 75, going north-south, and then, of course, east-west, 70 and 80 and 90 coming through here. We are a major center for drug trafficking in this country, and a lot of people forget we are a border state, and they just legalized marijuana just about up in Canada. And we've got an avenue for drugs to flood across the lake through Ohio, up from Mexico and across the country, with Ohio being the centerpiece. You can see why outside money has wanted to push this issue in Ohio.
We have on our website at the Ohio Christian Alliance, just Google Ohio Christian Alliance or go to ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. An informational flyer and information about issue one. Click on that, print the flyer, share it with those in your church and community and your family. Spread the word, folks, because the way we're going to be able to defeat issue one is by just sharing through each of our own networks, a grassroots effort to defeat issue one. Right now, it is very close. It seems like the proponents are a little ahead of us, but we haven't voted yet. That happens on November 6th, and we're gonna vote no on issue one. We're urging you to do the same thing. You know, Pastor, you brought up about just how this is the crossroads here in Ohio. The Ohio Patrolmen's Association can vouch for that. They're the ones who on these major highways of Route 70 and 71 and 77 and the major highways in Route 80 that go through Ohio, in Route 90, and they traffic across the Midwest, right? Ohio's really the crossroads, and a lot of these drugs are trafficking through Ohio. Look at some of the law enforcement agencies that are opposed to Issue 1. The Fraternal Order of Police, the Ohio State Bar Association, the Ohio State Coroners Association, the Ohio Association of Chiefs of Police, just to name a few, the Ohio Judicial Conference, Citizens for Community Values, along with the Ohio Christian Alliance. Other civic groups are all opposed to issue one, including Chamber of Commerce. And there's a number of groups. In fact, if you click on the link on our website, vote no, protectohio.com, it will show you all the organizations and law enforcement and community organizations that have come out against issue one. A lot of the major papers have also weighed in, and their editorial boards have come out against issue one. Pastor, your thoughts?
Absolutely, Chris. And I really do think, having talked with some people in different settings, that the more people find out about issue one, because initially people heard, oh, it's just going to help people. It's going to be some reform. And then when they start looking into it, I talked with somebody just recently who was reading it on the ballot, and he read the language. He said it looked good when he first started reading, but as then he started reading it a little further in, and he said it just looked worse the further he went. And I think that's what people are finding. The more they see issue one, the more they hear about the danger that it represents to the people of Ohio, I think the more people are coming to realize we must defeat this. We must vote against this issue.
Back on our candidate forum on and rally against issue one back on the 18th of this month in Cuyahoga Falls, of course, we had Prosecutor Thompson from Medina County that came out and talked about it. We also had Judge Allison McCarty of Summit County. On this program, we had Judge Durkin, who talked about it, Judge Grindell. These are all folks who are on the front line every day dealing with these kinds of problems of those arrests who are involved in drugs. Some of these people are so caught up in their addiction nation. They've lost their kids. They've lost their jobs. They're losing their homes. These judges are compassionate. They understand the complexity of the problem, and they're wanting to get them treatment. They're wanting to get them help. They're not just wanting to throw them in jail. And so reform is already happening before the bench. You know, Judge Durkin said in this program, Pastor, that he got a text message from a man who said, "Judge, thank you for saving my life. When I was arrested and I came to your courtroom, you did incarcerate me, but you put me in a drug treatment program. Judge, you saved my life, because within the next 10 days or so, I know I would have overdosed and died. You saved my life." A lot of stories like that are coming forward. These judges are actually trying to make a difference. Look, folks, we can get this tweaked as well. Going before the Ohio legislature, discussion is being made by legislators, law enforcement, the judiciary, also community leaders, and also the Chamber of Commerce, to walk back some of these fourth and fifth degree felonies of people so that they can be gainfully employed again. But we can't do that if issue one passes. This is going to throw really this state backwards. And unfortunately, like you said, Pastor, I think the jails are going to open up, but the morgues are going to be full. And it really is a life and death issue with issue one. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And Chris, as a pastor, I've had people that I've talked with who have been thankful that their loved one has been arrested and put in jail, because they've said it kept them from overdosing. And it was by being in jail that they were able to get the help. Had they not gone to jail, I had one lady who told me one time that that their loved one would have probably died had they not been put in jail by a judge. It was in jail that they reached rock bottom and were willing to reach out and go into one of these rehab programs. Hmm. So this takes that tool away from the courts. It takes it away from the police, takes it away from the families of people who are suffering from the opioid addiction. It takes it away from pastors and other clergy who are trying to work with these people, because sometimes in jail is the place where you can reach them.
Well, that's exactly right. And also, folks, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about they would reduce the sentencing, that you can be arrested two times within a 60-month period, be caught with really any amount of drugs. We're talking cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, carfentanil. In fact, carrying enough fentanyl, according to authorities, it could kill 10,000 people and not be arrested. The police would have an inability to curb drug trafficking in your neighborhood if this passes. You don't want to take away the policing authority of those who are trying to protect our communities and actually help people. So please get out, vote no on issue one. And again, to learn more, go to our website at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. And you can also visit VoteNoProtectOhio.com. That's VoteNoProtectOhio.com. But again, that link is on our website. If you just go to Ohio Christian Alliance, and you can actually download our voter guide. Well, Pastor, we want to talk about the voter guide. Thousands of churches are using the voter guide statewide. It has become a reliable resource to churches across the state of Ohio. We are not endorsing candidates, but we do survey the candidates. We publish the results in an educational voter guide, the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide, and we've actually printed and distributed over 9 million of these voter guides since 2004. So that really, I think we hold a record with that of any other faith organization. And pastors and congregants have come to rely upon the information that is available in the comprehensive educational voter guide of the Ohio Christian Alliance. What are we talking about? Well, it covers the governor's race. It covers the statewide races. It covers congressional, Ohio House, Ohio Senate, the U.S. Senate, and also provides information on ballot issue one. What are some of the questions that we ask that are different than some of the other advocacy groups out there? Well, folks, if you care about the pro-life issue, if you care about religious liberty, then you're going to want to get a copy of the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide. And again, on our website at ohioca.org. At this point, most of what we have is printed and been distributed. But also, you can call our office for questions at 330 330- 887-1922. But really, you could just, we make it very easy. We don't even ask for people's information. Just go print and click. Click and print the voter guide right off the website. Some of the questions that we've asked in our voter guide, of course, public schools teaching that homosexuality is an acceptable, healthy lifestyle. Well, we want to know where candidates stand on that issue. Do they oppose that or do they support that? Elimination of Ohio's death penalty. Another question that we have, prohibiting abortion when a heartbeat is detected. Of course, the heartbeat bill. We want to know how pro-life. You know, a candidate can say he or she is pro-life. We want to know how pro-life they are. Pastor?
Yes, Chris. And our church, being a small church, you know, I kind of feel guilty having you send me a stack of these that you spent money on. I just went to the website and I printed these off. We distributed it at our church just yesterday, or not yesterday, last Sunday during the services. And it's easy to do. If you've got a printer, you can do it. And you just print them out, pass them out at church. Somebody doesn't want them, you know, they don't have to take them. But it gives information. As a pastor, I find this very valuable information because, like you said, I want to know where they stand on these moral issues. As somebody said, well, that's getting involved in politics. No, this is moral issues. Abortion is a moral issue. And the homosexuality and LGBTQ and all these sorts of, that's a moral issue. And I want to know where these candidates stand. I have people ask me, Pastor, where does this judge stand on that? Where does this candidate stand on that? And I use this as a go-to resource.
Well, it's also a very helpful tool for people because, you know, a lot of folks say to us, hey, thank you so much, Chris, and the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you didn't provide this voter guide, I wouldn't know where these guys and gals stood, and I'd be in the blind. Well, you know what? I would be, too. I remember pastoring, and the voter guide would show up on the church stoop, and I would make sure that it got passed out on Sunday morning, and I would say to the folks, hey, get out there and vote your values. Pray and vote your values. And we always encouraged you know, the congregation to do that. Little did I know, later I would be a director of the organization, formerly the Christian Coalition of Ohio, now the Ohio Christian Alliance, now for the last 12 years. But also we ask questions about the Pastors Protection Act, legislation protecting pastors and churches from civil discrimination, also known as the Pastors Protection Act. And we're asking these candidates to take a stand on these issues, Pastor, because then when we go to offer legislation that's going to be of great need and support to the church, we're going to know where some of these folks stand. And that actually, we've been able to take the voter guide in once they win office and saying, hey, remember you took a position on this?
Right.
We want you to fulfill your promise here. It's actually been very helpful in that way.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you bring up the Pastors Protection Act there as protecting pastors and churches. And we've seen some threats here recently in Cuyahoga County, for instance, with the Human Rights Council that they just put in place and others. And that's why we need this information. We need to know where these candidates stand.
That's right. And so the printed voter guide, of course, is an 8-panel voter guide. It's 22 inches long, 8 1/4 inches tall. It's a fold-out, and it covers all those races. Now, how we go about doing this, we survey the candidates, both Democrat and Republican, running for the offices, the state offices of Ohio House, Ohio Senate, Congressional, U.S. Senate, Governor, and the statewide races of Secretary of State, Attorney General, Auditor and treasurer. And then, of course, according as they respond. So if at least one candidate in that race responds, we put them in the voter guide. If neither candidate responded, you won't find them in the voter guide. In fact, that's why you go up into the top tab and it says, in the following Ohio House districts, neither candidate responded to the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey. And so, you know, we've had some calls in the office and said, hey, why didn't this candidate answer the questions? Well, we don't fill it in for them, Pastor. They have to fill it in themselves. And so we've actually been very helpful about that. It also does give the website, for instance, if you want to go and visit that candidate's website as to where they are in the positions. But, you know, a lot of candidates don't really like to tell people what they think and where they stand on specific issues, what they would consider prickly issues. So, you know, folks, those, of course, are the ones we care about. What do you believe about abortion? That's why when we've had the candidate forums on air, we ask the question, are you pro-life or are you for abortion? And we've asked the candidates that on this program. And it's been very helpful to people as well. The archives of those programs also are available on our website. So if you didn't get a chance to hear some of the longer versions of some of the candidates running for office, those are available on our website too. Pastor, your thoughts.
You're right, Chris. And again, I want to go back to letting people know that if they don't think that they can get one of these sent to them right away in time for the election or in time for services this coming Sunday, go to the website, ohioca.org, and print it off. You can print several of these off. It doesn't cost much to print it out. And it'll also, if you're a pastor and you're wondering what I should preach on this Sunday, if you talk about these various issues, moral issues of the day, this will give you some information. Just looking at the questions will give you some information of what's affecting our state, the people in our state right now, just looking at these questions.
You know, it was back in the Revolutionary War, and it was everybody remembers Peter Muhlenberg, of course, and he was the pastor who took off his robe, and he had a colonial uniform underneath, and he recruited the men because the Revolutionary War was on. Well, he had a brother who was also a pastor. He says, well, I don't want to get involved in that. Well, until the British came and burned down his church, he said, where do I sign up? How do I get involved? So, you know, sometimes people say, you know, and pastors too, it's like, well, we don't really want to get involved. Well, you know, sooner or later, you know, trouble's going to come your way. I mean, you can't avoid it forever. We live in this world, and we live in this nation, and we are to be lights, and we are to be salt of the earth. Pastor, you have a quote there from Charles Finney, the famed evangelist of the last century. What does he say?
Yeah, Charles Finney said, God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take a right ground. Politics are a part of religion in a country such as this, and Christians must do their duty to the country as a part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this country in accordance to the course Christians take in politics.
And that is a word of admonishment from an evangelist of the last century. Charles Finney, of course, was a great evangelist and founder of Oberlin College, just west of here. And what we need to be involved. We need to be your influence. Your values are needed in the ballot box. Well, that happens when you get to the polls on Tuesday and you get there and vote. So nobody can do it for you. You got to do it yourself. And so, as they often say, you can't complain if you don't vote. So get to the polls on Tuesday and get your family members there too and get them educated and print off a copy of the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide from our website for your family members as well so that they can understand where the candidates stand on these key issues and certainly tell them to get out and vote no on issue one. Pastor.
And Chris, I would like to remind everybody to pray for President Trump's upcoming visit to Cleveland. You know, we have seen in other states when the president visits, votes seem to go our way, don't they? He's had a record of winning, and so I'm praying that it'll energize the base and get people out voting their Christian values.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for being on the program with me today. And again, Pastor Al, who was heard live with Pastor Al on Fridays and also Sunday nights at
11 o'clock on Sunday nights, Fridays at 1:30 in the afternoon.
And, of course, he's a board member of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Thank you, Pastor, for coming on today.
Well, thank you, Chris.
He'll actually be working the polls on Election Day. And, of course, we're going to be at the office. So if you have questions about your precinct or problems with your ballot, you guys give us a call at the Ohio Christian Alliance. The number is 330-887-1922. Stay tuned. We'll be hearing from Pastor Greg Delaney, who was a yes vote on issue one. Now he's a definite no vote. Stay tuned. We'll listen to Pastor Greg Delaney. Thanks for listening.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance. The Ohio Christian Alliance is urging a no vote on State Ballot Issue 1. Issue 1 is bad for Ohioans and especially harmful to the very people it is purported to help. Promoted as an effort for prison reform, this deceptive ballot measure would actually create conditions for more drug trafficking and opiate addiction, overdose, and death in Ohio communities. Ohio has already seen its share of grief and loss in its battle against drug addiction. The amendment as proposed would strip law enforcement of the ability to curb drug use and trafficking in local communities. Judges could no longer provide options for defendants in the courtroom of incarcerated addiction recovery programs. Issue 1 makes possession of any amount of deadly drugs nothing more than a misdemeanor and forbids jail sentencing for the first two offenses, no matter what quantities of drugs are involved. Ohio Christian Alliance is urging pastors, churches, and our fellow Ohioans to vote no on State Ballot Issue 1. And we're back, and as we indicated earlier, we have with us a special guest on the program today, and actually this is really monumental in the state ballot issue battle of State Ballot Issue 1. Many of you are aware of State Ballot Issue 1. If you're not, we encourage you to visit our website. That is ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website, and you'll find information there. The Ohio Christian Alliance is urging a no vote on Issue 1. There are a number of groups that are pushing Issue 1. It actually comes with a lot of problems. In fact, reading to you from our paper, promoted as an effort for prison reform, this deceptive ballot measure would actually create conditions for more drug trafficking and opiate addiction, overdose, and death in Ohio communities. Ohio has already seen its share of grief and loss in its battle against drug addiction. The amendment as proposed would strip law enforcement of the ability to curb drug use and trafficking in local communities. Judges could no longer could provide options to defendants in the courtroom of either incarcerated addiction recovery programs or paroled drug addiction recovery programs. The proposed amendment is cloaked as an effort for prison reform, but in reality, it would be a constitutional law that would make it nearly impossible for communities, law enforcement, and the judicial system to police and curb drug possession and drug trafficking on the streets of Ohio cities and communities. State Issue 1 is on the ballot, and folks, we're urging a no vote. In fact, many clergy are coming out statewide who have become now educated on this issue, urging a no vote on Issue 1, the Fraternal Order of Police, the Ohio State Coroners Association. On this program, we had Justice Durkin from Warren County. We also have had Prosecutor Thompson from Medina County, Judge McCarty from Summit County, Judge Grindell from Geauga County. These folks all weighing in who actually see this problem every day in their courtroom, and they're urging a no vote on Issue 1, and they've explained about it. But with me on the phone is Pastor Greg Delaney, and Pastor Greg actually has been doing great work in the addiction, opiate addiction problems in Ohio as far as recovery. He works in a center in Dayton, Ohio. He's actually been featured by Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C. He was invited to the White House earlier this year for a drug task force. And Pastor Delaney has a little story to tell, because some of you have heard commercials earlier this month actually encouraging you as a yes vote on Issue 1. Well, that was Pastor Greg. He is now a definitive no on Issue 1. Pastor Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you, brother. And we so appreciate your work that you're doing with people every day. You yourself, as a recovered alcoholic and in addiction, and God has just blessed your life, and you've been helping a lot of people over the years. Tell us a little bit about, you've been on a little bit of a journey in the last 6 weeks that's been quite amazing, and it's been kind of a topsy-turvy world a little bit for you, but we're standing with you, brother. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, sure. You know, you had mentioned some of the work that we're doing in the opiate space, and had an organization kind of approach me to help at the time, what I thought was to help facilitate some of that, to bring some additional resource into that space. And so joined that organization, and we're starting to do some work for them. And part of what was an encouragement to me with them was to be a supporter of the issue that you just you know, summarized and helped the folks to see what was going on with. And so at the beginning, because I am a person in long-term recovery and deal with people who are, you know, facing consequence for their addiction, who I've worked with a lot of people who are still hamstrung by, you know, the decisions to be, you know, or decisions that cost them their freedom, and they were incarcerated and now trying to get back and reassimilate into society. You know, I was looking at the front end of that ballot initiative and thinking, you know, this is something that we need to do, because to warehouse people or to not offer them treatment alternatives, you know, when they truly are sick, is just not a good plan. And so as a part of working with and for this group, I began to provide some support to that. And again, naively kind of jumping in on the front end of this and in terms of the why. And I really agree with the why. We do have to change the way that we're doing this. And actually did a radio ad for this group. And you talked about the tumultuous couple of days that happened thereafter. After that dropped, I probably had at least 30 to 35 very trusted, longtime colleagues in this business and longtime colleagues in the ministry with me reach out to me and just encourage me to take another look at it. They knew my heart. They knew that I am an advocate for those that are dealing with these issues. But they said that I was probably misguided on the mechanism of how this ballot initiative was going to be executed. And so, in short, I did that. I took the advice of those people. And many of them were folks that I have done forums with and been a part of. And they were a wide gamut of folks, and, you know, pastors, a couple of judges, a couple of people that were also in recovery with me and part of organizations that I support. And then I also realized early on that I felt a little isolated in terms of being on the other side of this particular issue, especially with some of the people that I had done that work with and this work with across the state of Ohio, elected officials that most certainly were against it. And to kind of net it out after that search and after a lot of prayer, and I can't emphasize that enough. It was a lot of prayer. I came to, you know, realize that I had made a mistake, and that mistake came with a cost. I was not forced to, but I chose to resign from the organization that I was working with and for, and as a result of this particular issue, and then knew I needed to come out and kind of set that record straight and really kind of just own that I had made an error and that I needed to get on to the proper side of this issue. And that's in voting no for it, but also offering to the community and offering to those that will listen that I would be, you know, excited and honored to be a part of crafting a better mechanism to achieve the things that this bill says it's going to do on the front end, but in a way that is more long term, that's more palatable, and that will have a long reaching and the appropriate effect rather than what this one will do.
Amen. Absolutely. We're talking to Greg Delaney. He is a pastor. He works with opiate addiction recovery programs out of Dayton, Ohio. And some of you have heard the radio ad that was urging you to vote yes on issue one earlier this month. Pastor Greg is now saying vote no on issue one. Isn't that right, Pastor?
Absolutely. And, you know, and it was really, again, it's in the mechanism. I think you articulated it well in some of the things that really aren't going to live up to as what is being advertised. I firmly believe that the premise has merit, but the mechanism is flawed. And I think if we were to go forward with it, our ability to recover from the poor mechanism and the poor implementation would be very difficult, and we would end up hurting the same group of people that were really working very diligently to try to help.
Amen to that. You know, this has really brought some folks together. Of course, we hope to defeat issue one, and I think we have turned the tide. Your announcement last Monday in Columbus with a press conference, I was proud to stand with you along with Aaron Bear as you made your statement now that you are a no vote on issue one. I believe the tide is turning. A grassroots effort of those around the state of Ohio getting the word out. Pastors are getting in their pulpits and saying, look, folks, we've researched this. It's not what it is purported to be, and we need to vote it down, and we need to move forward to help those in addiction problems and those trying to get back on their feet, and we're going to do that. But issue one's not the way. In fact, we heard that Alistair Begg made a statement in his pulpit on Sunday morning urging his congregants in all three services to vote no. Other pastors are doing that across the state of Ohio. The Ohio Christian Alliance, along with Citizens for Community Values and a number of organizations, are urging a no vote on issue one. And with God's help, we'll be able to defeat it. And then go forward is what you're talking about, Pastor, is really what is common sense criminal justice reform when it comes to those who are arrested for drug addiction or drug usage in the state of Ohio. Being jailed is not always the answer. I think our justices have already begun a form of reform without it being in code or statute. When I talk to these justices, they look at every individual coming to their bench, and they're making a determination that some people can go into a rehab program as an option rather than to jail. Some of them need to go to jail just to get in a rehab program in jail. One gentleman, actually, and we're hearing many of these stories, actually, when I had Judge Durkin on the air with me, he said, Chris, let me read you this text. And it was a gentleman that said, Judge, you saved my life. When you put me in jail, it caused me to get in the rehab program, and it saved my life. I'm now clean. If you didn't put me in jail at that time, I know that within a couple weeks, I would have overdosed and I wouldn't be here. And there's been a lot of stories like that. Now, of course, not everyone needs jail. Some people need the option of just, first of all, the shock of being arrested and that they realize that their life is in a downward spiral. They're losing friends and family and, you know, all kinds of things, their job, and they realize that they need help and they're reaching out for addiction recovery programs. But I think there's another element to this, and I think that there's going to be a lot of folks coming to the table, Pastor, like you said, that you're going to work forward. How do we get some of these people back on their feet who have a fourth or fifth degree felony that's nonviolent? How do we give them a pathway for expungement of those felonies so that they can get back into the workforce, that this won't be a black mark on their life and that we can all work together? You know, and I think there's people at the Chamber of Commerce that said, you know what, we want to work on that, Chris. So you bring the law enforcement together with legislators, with the faith community, with those who are working like yourself on the front lines of the opiate addiction recovery efforts around the state of Ohio, and with community leaders, bringing everybody to the table with the business community and saying, how do we really put together a comprehensive package to really help our fellow Ohioans who are working through this? We got to turn this around. And so I think it is kind of a total you know, all hands on deck kind of effort that we need to put forward to really get something meaningfully done. And I told that to a Democratic legislator. I saw him at the State House the day, in fact, the very day that we did the press conference. He said, oh, well, they've had it for a while, but they've never done anything. I said, Senator, I believe that the time is ripe. We're going to come to the table. We're going to get this done. And I'm going to reach out to him specifically. That was Senator Sykes, and he's a Democrat from Akron. And I think it's going to be a bipartisan measure that puts this thing together that really helps. But the first order of business is to defeat issue one as it is written. It's just poorly written. It will be in our state constitution. It can't be easily turned, folks. We can't walk this back. And to actually overturn a state constitutional amendment is a Herculean task. So we need to defeat it now. Pastor, your thoughts?
And I agree with that. And you know, and going back to your earlier point, I think what's happened is we've had a crisis for several years, and we know all the bad stats with this particular issue. But over the course of that time, we've learned a lot about it as well. And we've seen countless people step up, both in the faith community as well as in the judicial community, as well as in the treatment community, stepping up to serve this population. And so what we know about opiate addiction today and the challenges that it brings is very different than what we knew 5 years ago. In fact, we didn't talk about it 5 years ago. When I was working with recovering folks, it was mostly alcohol, crack cocaine that we were dealing with. And then this issue came on us like a tsunami. And so I think what we have the opportunity now is we're coming at this with a much more educated perspective. And the other piece of it is because Ohio was kind of on the front end of this, we've taken a leadership position. We've been pioneering in our ability to be creative with our treatment, be creative with what sober living looks like, being creative with extending opportunities for treatment beyond what was normal, you know, just 5 years ago. And one of the nice things that has been a part of being a part of the efforts of DHHS in DC is that now we have a lens that looks at the entire country, and we can see what is a best practice, what things are working, and how can we bring those things to the table in Ohio as we move forward. So I think it was a little knee jerk that we got here, but I think with you know, just with our education and where we've come, I think we have the ability in a short amount of time, if we can get the right people at the table, as you mentioned, be able to craft something that, you know, not to sound too cliched, but it is a win-win. And being able, and I think the biggest piece of this is being able to assess and discern effectively individual by individual as to what is the most appropriate for them. And one of the things that is a challenge even on the treatment side is we don't have much client-centric help. And I think this will actually help drive even our health system, our treatment system, our recovery systems to really starting to take a look at looking at these people that are dealing with this issue as people who are having a hard time with a substance use issue and beginning to treat it as well as, you know, provide consequence for it in an appropriate way per individual. And so I'm very optimistic that we get past, you know, this ballot piece and have the opportunity to sit at the table. We've got a lot of creative minds that I think is going to craft something that again, Ohio will be a pioneer in, and we'll be able to be part of turning the tide, not only for us, but also turning the tide for other communities around the country.
We are talking to Pastor Greg Delaney. He is working with opiate addiction recovery programs with a group out of Dayton, Ohio. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about the actual work, day-to-day, working with these folks that are trapped in addiction and their way out. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Pastor Greg Delaney, and many of you heard a commercial earlier this month that was urging you to vote yes on issue one. That was voiced over by Pastor Greg Delaney, and he has reconsidered his position, and he is now definitely a no vote on issue one. But Pastor Greg, you are well respected across the state of Ohio and actually in national areas as well on your work on opiate addiction recovery programs. You've worked in Dayton, of course. You've HHS has featured you. You were invited to the White House last spring for a drug task force conference. Tell us about your work there in Dayton and, of course, encouraging other groups that are just getting started and some that are already operable throughout the state of Ohio and communities. And also add to this, tell us what you think some of the better groups are, and then some of those who are maybe not doing the right thing that they should maybe consider some other items that might help them in their efforts.
Well, you know, thanks for that, Chris. I've been very blessed and fortunate. And again, you know, coming from the lens of someone in long-term recovery, I think, you know, God spared me my life and opened up a door and a call to serve this population about 10 years ago. And through the course of that journey, you know, we've seen, we've seen what people are struggling with change, but at the end of the day, it's still an issue of brokenness and people seeking pain relief and doing self-medication that usually is at the heart of it. And so over the course of this time, we've been blessed to see a lot of people who felt the same kind of calling to that broken population from both the faith community and the treatment community to begin to offer solutions for people, to begin to look at this more in a way that isn't stigmatized and isn't just a moral failing that people are doing and just bad choice, but often there's trauma behind it. There's decisions that they made because of the circumstances of their life. They're coming from situations that many of us, we wouldn't know how we would handle that. And so been blessed to work toward the idea of how can we bring our faith leaders, our faith communities, our churches, and how do we activate that enormous pool of talent and gifts and resource to becoming a part of this solution, to being a part of the continuum of care that is needed for someone to get better. And one of the things that we've seen is that the core of this and the core of all addiction recovery starts with relationships. And one of the things that we have strived to do, especially over the last 5 years, is to figure out and work with a variety of very diverse people who are in this space and looking to knit them together. Having relationships between public health and the church, relationships between the court and the church, relationships between treatment providers and the church, and having the church become educated as to what those folks do and how they can assist the church in helping an individual that might come to their altar finally at that place that says, I need to do something different. I need the help that I need. And so we spent a lot of time educating the church about addiction, educating the church as what addiction is and what addiction isn't. And over the course of probably the last 3 years, we've done the better part of 100 forums between Ohio, West Virginia. I was just in Tennessee, really just spending time with the church and looking to empower them into this space. And so that has been very encouraging. And coming out of that, Chris, we have seen new houses pop up. We've seen new meetings start in the church. We've seen transportation being provided by an idle church bus that was just sitting around and now is being a part of the solution, helping people get the help that they need. And that has been the encouragement. I was just in Toledo this morning and sitting around a table in conjunction with Governor Kasich's regional liaison from Dayton, Sandra Brazington. And we were there with pastors, treatment providers, faith leaders, having the conversation about how do we create a more collaborative, effective continuum of care effort for people dealing with substance use in Toledo. And those conversations are happening all over the state. And so that's where I'm encouraged. And I'm seeing a real move of God as God is igniting the church to say, this crisis is here, but we have the solution to that. And especially when we can kind of get past, you know, being focused in on what it is that people are using to deal with their pain and get back to recognizing that this is an issue of brokenness. And the good news is the church has had an answer to that brokenness problem for 2,000 years. It died on a cross. Mm. But there's a way to bring somebody through that challenge of their physical addiction, their psychological addiction. How do I begin to connect to them relationally so that I can bring them to the place where that gospel message will be received and where they can begin to see that the Lord has a purpose, has a potential for them, has a promise of hope for them. And that good work that he began in them doesn't need to stop with addiction, that there can be a next chapter in their lives. And so that's been the heart of all the work that we've done.
Well, that is awesome, Pastor. And God is really mightily using your life and your own personal testimony of God, how God has delivered you from addiction in your personal life. And he is sharing that through you to so many others. It's been an inspiration and encouragement. And you're not only just in front working with those who are trapped in addiction, but you're encouraging and teaching others how to actually launch efforts in their area to reach out to addicts, to have recovery programs, and to have an understanding of addiction and reaching out to these people. And I really believe that, you know, we're starting to turn the tide here in Ohio. It's like Winston Churchill said, this is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it might be the end of the beginning. And I think that's what's happening with the opiate crisis here in Ohio. We're starting to see some headway. you know, issue one would just muck that up. It would just really, it's not what we need right now. It's being purported as something that would be helpful, has elements of language in it that, yeah, but when once passed, it would actually just cause drug trafficking to increase on the streets of Ohio. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. So we're going to defeat issue one. We're going to move forward to really have comprehensive criminal justice reform when it comes to addicts and those in using drugs. And so we can actually provide help for these people without becoming part of the problem of their life, of them getting these felonies that keeps them out of employment and just, you know, perpetuates a bad situation. I think the good news is there's a lot of people listening, watching throughout law enforcement, legislators, the faith community, community leaders and organizations that are basically got everyone's attention and saying, okay, how do we come together in unity and really work on this thing for the betterment of our fellow Ohioans? And I think that's the encouragement here, Pastor. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think what's happened is that, you know, this sat in the shadows for quite a while. Stigma kept it hidden. Fear kept it hidden. A lot of things. And here of late, as we've changed the narrative, and as the reality says, you know, we have one out of three people in the state of Ohio that are being impacted by this challenge. Those folks are sitting in the pews with us. Those folks are at the grocery store with us. And some of them, you know, keep it hidden because it's a family member or whatever. But as that narrative has changed, then what has been the result of that is a lot of creative minds, a lot of compassionate people, a lot of empowered people have said, you know what, I can be a part of helping with that. You know, I've got that going on in my house, and this is what I've learned about it, and I want to be a part of a group to help move that along or fix that particular part of the challenge. And
Pastor, we've run out of time. Yep, and thank you so much for coming on today. We bless you and honor you for the work you're doing, Pastor Greg Delaney. God bless you.
With your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.